Okay, so we started yesterday. We're still dealing with the sugya of tefillah of the boteach. We spoke yesterday about the, obviously, the person has to daven himself, but there's also the inyan. We saw in the Gemara that there's an inyan of lech la'chochem v'lavakesh u'mitpala lecha. Go to the chochem and ask him to daven for you. That's the second obligation we have. We have to understand what that's about. I can't just double my mouth, but I need to. Let's try to understand what that's about in the light of what we are saying. The bottom of Reish Vav. Shenis. After we've davened and done everything we can, you have to go to the Chochem. The Kodesh Baruch Hu chofetz betfilosa shel Chochem. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants the tefillah of the Chochem. Ubehechlet itochen shelachen Hashem shalach liyudi pleini asachayli. Could be that Hashem sent him the ill person in his house. Dafka because he wants the tefillah of the tzaddik. Now, why does he want the tefillah of the tzaddik? Kedei sheyevakesh min ha-chochem sheyitpalel adoy. Ula. Gam kan ein hechrach sheyitfilas ha-chochem tanim mishamayim bo'ifim yeshira v'u ha-yudu ha-mavakesh. So too, yeah, the principle applies. May not be that the Jew that asked the chochem to daven for him will get the answer straight to him. Could be that Hashem will use the tefillah of this tzaddik to bring refer into the world. The problem is Hashem wants to give refer, but there's no one davening for it. And without the tefillah, it's not going to come. Hashem brings this sick person to this person. That he'll go to the Chochem. V'chochem yitpalel el tfilosoy azokah v'abrura. This Chochem will then daven. The davening of a tzaddik, of somebody who knows how to daven. V'koyach tfilosoy yushpala oylam kula shef rufur. Then we'll come into the world. The koyach of rufur. How much and where. The cheshbonis we have no clue. But that's what's going on here. The second level of betochen, the level of betochen we're working with, what we call Rashi's betochen, yeah? Which is Baru Lil that we explained above at length. It doesn't mean you can't get an appointment with Hashem. So you pay some macher to go and have the appointment for you. That's not how it works. We don't like it. That's not our approach to life. You can go to Hashem straight. You know, you have a problem with Betuach Lumi, so you don't know how to deal with it. So you pay somebody $500 and they've got the protector and they deal with it. That's what this is about. You don't have protector with Hashem, so you pay somebody who has. No, that's not pshat. You can go to Hashem yourself. Why do I have to go and find the toilet Yeshua's Shinova Lakhorish Bok Vatatas Navash? I need somebody to go Gezer on Hashem. I can speak to Hashem myself. That's not the way of somebody who has betochen in Hashem, that he has to find all intermediaries to get to Hashem. I'm not going to the Chochem because I need him to daven for me. I need to go to the Chochem because Hashem wants the Chochem to daven for Kol Klal Yisrael. I can go and daven myself, and I have to daven myself. Let me ask you the question. I have to daven myself, and I have to go to the Chochem. So now, my davening works or not? If my davening works, I don't need the Chochem. If my davening doesn't work, why am I davening? I go straight to the Chochem. Right, that's the point. You need to daven because Hashem needs you to daven. Because without you davening, what you need ain't going to come. Now, maybe you're not going to get what you need. Maybe it's for somebody else. But yeah, the problem's too big. Hashem needs somebody who knows how to daven. The tzaddik's tefillah, it's a different kind of tefillah. Zokev, a boruv, whatever it is. You have to daven. We have a chiv to daven. We said that right in the beginning. Yeah. We're going into you have a chiv to daven. What am I going to the chochem for? Because Hashem needs the chochem to daven, not you need the chochem to daven. You can deal with Hashem directly. No, the chochem, whatever, yeah. A Kodesh Baruch Hu arranged that you'll get that goes further. The Kodesh Baruch Hu arranged for the Chayla to come to you. So you'll go to the Chochem because Hashem wants, needs, whatever, the Chochem to daven for Klal Yisrael. He's going to use those tefillos to bring the refuah to people who are not davening. Okay? And the Chochem also needed this guy to come to him. Why did this guy walk through my door? There are a lot of tzaddikim in town. Why did he come to my door? But they also need to be involved with this for some reason. Anybody ever, let's just put something on the table here while we're discussing it. It's very relevant. Open your eyes a little bit. They use the terminology, a Torah-based therapist. You ever heard that terminology? You have therapists that are not Torah-based. They work with secular psychology. We have Torah-based therapists. The assumption being, a Torah-based therapist, somebody who works with Torah hashkafas. Yeah? Okay, so I had another definition of what's a Torah-based therapist. Listen carefully. It's really nothing to do with this, but it touches on why when you walk into the Chochem's door, the Chochem also has to be thinking, what's this got to do with this? Why me, Lord? A Torah-based therapist is somebody who understands when somebody walks through his door, there were 10 other doors that this person could have walked through. And if he walked through the door and put his problem on my table, I needed to hear about that problem because it's got something to do with me and I might need to be working on that problem myself as well. That's a Torah-based therapist. Interesting insight. When you come to the tzaddik to ask him to daven for a certain issue, he has to stop and say, well, there are another 10 tzaddikim on the block. Why did Zafka walk through my door? Why did Hashem bring this guy into my room now with this particular problem? And he should think about what's going on, why this has definitely got something to do with me. When some guy walks into your office and he's got a certain problem, there were 40 other lawyers he could have gone to. Why did he come here? Interesting, no? Okay.
Well, are you fine luck with
the answers, he's the best. You're 100% right, but they don't know it yet. So why did they come?
This could go in short. Let's say for 2 hours or 3 hours, people are coming to nurses.
I don't know how they deal with the practicalities. The practicalities are his problem. He has to work that out himself. I don't understand Reb Chaim Bichlal. Reb Chaim's not just like me, but he knows much more, or he's more holy. He's a Bria Chadosha Lagamra. I have no understanding of that Metzias. I have no idea. I don't know. Good question. The practicalities. Just trying to get an idea across that a person has to be aware that when things are happening around him, that was Hashem arranged. It's not just, well, I'm a therapist and he's coming, he's got a problem and I've got to help him solve his problem. No, I better find out what this has to do with me. Okay. I was just trying to bring out one small yesodia and it all cover the whole subject. The lawyer's also different. Bless them. I love lawyers. One of my best friends is a lawyer. So what can I do? I have to live with a lawyer. And it's not my wife. So... Let's imagine for ourselves, a Jew you should have in mind that if you needed to go into Golis, you've been Yoitzi it now. Chazal say that. Person comes to davening and someone's sitting in his seat, he shouldn't go up to the guy and say, sorry, you're in my seat. He should go sit somewhere else and have in mind that he's being Yoitzi Golis if he needed to ever go into Golis. So you should be Chaperan. Chaperan. Okay. A person is walking around and he has a chayle b'beisa of a pegeshes arizal b'kveido b'atzmoi and he bumps into the arizal. Arizal's going for a stroll and he bumps into the arizal. And he asks the arizal to intervene on his behalf. Got someone sick at home. The arizal says to him, I'll tell you what's going to be in the future. Let me tell you what's going to be. You have nothing to worry about. I'm telling you that he's going to get better. You go home now, you'll see he's already on the mend. Our level of betochen, the level of betochen we're working on, yeah, the second level, which is I'm not telling Hashem what to do. I'm a kabbal, whatever Hashem wants. Whatever Hashem says, then I'm a kabbal. Habotecha amiti al pi medregas habotochen hashnia al betochen. What does he say to the Arizal? Lo yem unyan lishmo yisa osib labo. I'm not really interested in your prophetic visions, Rabbeinu Arizal. Shekhen adova enu matrid otiklal, because I'm not worried about it in the first place. He's not looking at the future, the Rashi's Baal B'tochem. Whatever Hashem brings upon him, he's Makabal between us. The reason he's going to a Chochem is because of the reason we said above. Hashem wants to bring Shefer into the world, and it's not going to come without Tefillah. So Hashem cooks up a situation where someone will daven for refuah, and then Hashem can do merapah all the people that need refuah. But I'm not going to the chochem because I want him to tell me the future, and I'm not going to calm me down because I'm fine and I'm calm already because I know shekol ma shivo mi Hashem letov. I'm not telling Hashem what to do. I'm accepting what Hashem does, and I'm not looking to the. That's the Rashi Mefurash. That's the Rashi Mefurash. No? What page is the Rashi on? Huh? You're in Golas. No, you're not. Wow. Rakshnia. It's not, we didn't do that long ago. Shem doesn't, the Batek doesn't power. She has power. Let's look at Shitta's base. Shitta's Rashi. If you want to look at it inside, it's on the Kuf Samach Dalet, the top of the page. Oh, sorry. That's not where it's pulled down the first time. Oh, yeah, it is. Kuf Samach Dalet. Shitas Rashi Shu Leil Bebir Apostle, Tomin Tiyem Hashem Elokecho. The Apostle says, Tomin Tiyem Hashem Elokecho. And there Rashi said what? The fishitazu betochen perushi yedir ka yiruim haboyim ala adam kulam em yad Hashem. The person knows that everything that happens to him comes from Hashem. Masha yava alecha kabul betmimus klaima. Whatever happens, you accept it with tmimus klaima. What does it mean you accept it with tmimus? Hashalva hanenecheches beleiva adam ikoich betochen ze. The tranquility, the calmness that dwells in a person's mind from the koyach of this betochen, bo ketoytzami adiak afilim chaskeli tovel rami yad Hashem. That even if something comes upon him that looks ra, mikol mokam akolat tova, it's all good. We'll be discussing an ideal here, Rabbi. So don't feel bad if you're not holding your yet. We have a few steps to take till we get there. This is the apprentice clause. In this betochen of Rashi, you don't have a guarantee that Hashem will give you whatever you want. How do you know what's good for you? How do you know what's good for you? You're going to tell Hashem what's good for you? Probably he knows a bit better. Someone goes to the doctor and he tells the doctor what to do. Today that might not be a problem, but using it as a muscle. You tell the brain surgeon how to do brain surgery. Understand, you're out of place here. So you're going to tell Hashem what's best for you? You're going to tell Hashem what's best for you? No. Hashem knows what's best. If this is what he's doing, I trust him. So kol tov. That's why we had the problem in the first place. So why are you davening to change it? That's how we started this whole chapter. If it's all from Hashem, and Hashem knows what's best, so whatever's happening is good, why would I want to change it? How would I know what to change it into? I don't know what's good for me. In Olam Haba terms. So why are you davening, remember? Should we start again? We're davening because nothing comes into the world without tefillah. Why that is, we don't know, but that's what we said.
How do we know what to daven for then?
Hashem tells, so we said that. So I said, we want to start again. Hashem tells you what he wants you to daven for, but the problem he puts on your table. You makabel betmimas. And then you go inside yourself. This is where it's difficult. You makabel, yeah, because the shtadlis and the tefillah always interferes with the bekochim, remember? If all I had to do was sit back and say, you know what, bakol tova, I'm going back to bed. Just get our melech's approach. Yeah? So that would be easy. It's easy to have betochim there. But when you have to go out and make ishtadlis that looks like ishtadlis, and you have to go daven that it looks like davening, then you start thinking, well, the betochen, am I really betoch? Am I not betoch? That's where the challenge in betochen is. It's always in the avoider you have to do. Hashem created us because he wants us to do something, not because he wants us to go to bed and he'll take care of everything. He gave you the problem and he takes it away. And what did you do? Zilch. You just got out the way. Well, what did he need you in the world? What did he create you for? You know what I'm saying? We need to do something. Because that's what Hashem decided. I don't know the why. Good question. It's better than a man wasn't created, but now they're created. You've got to get on with it. Excuse me. Hashem gave us to do ishtadlis. We discussed why you have to do ishtadlis. Now we're discussing why you have to daven. And we said the reason why you have to daven is because it could be your next door neighbor has a problem and he's not going to daven. And Hashem needs you, knows you'll daven. So he tells you, you have a chiyuv to daven. And because you daven for something you need, Reb Chanina ben Doisa, Hashem will be able to mazan the whole world. That's how Hashem set up the system. Don't ask me why he set it up like that. This is where the personal prayer is. I'm not davening for the whole of Klal Yisrael. If I have a panasa problem, I daven Hashem, please give me panasa. What does Hashem do? How do you know that? What's it? Well, forget about that. I know I'm good. Forget
it. I'm fulfilling my tefillah obligation. Now if I start asking on things personally, how do I know those things are the best thing
for me? Once again, if it's not good for you, you ain't going to get it. If it's not good for you, you're not going to get it. So why ask for it? That's the question. It's part of the kasha of tefillah. If a kid's begging, you just give him a poison apple. You're going to give it to him? Why not? He's doubling very nice. He's asking so politely. And he doesn't stop. So you give it to him. No, it's not good for you. I said, I'm not going to give you something that's not good for you. But could be it's good for your next door neighbor, and he'll give it to him. Hashem, there's a system here, and I don't know how it works, where you feel a lack. You feel a lack. Now, on one hand, this is where the irony, the paradox comes in. On one hand, this is classic Jewish schizophrenia. Kosher, compulsory, Jewish schizophrenia. Okay? On the one hand, you need to know, I call it Tovah, I call it Beseder. Mitzacheni, Hilchas Tfila tells you, if you feel you have a problem, you have a lack, you have to go to Hashem and you have to talk to him about it. Let's take the doctor's dilemma. Sorry, we're picking on doctors there. Patient walks into your room. You have to know that the healing and the non-healing of this patient has nothing to do with you whatsoever. Nothing. The Boy Olam is going to refer him or not. It has nothing to do with you. That you have to write a petek and put it in your right pocket. Gemara says. Then you take out another petek and you write in that part, that thing. This person's refuah and healing is kulu tolu on me. If I don't do what I'm supposed to do, I'm a murderer. That's the paradox scenario that a person has to work with. You have to know that Hashem is going to marap him. He's going to do everything. It's nothing to do with you. And they have to know that Hashem gave you a chivi status. And a chivi status means you have to do everything you can possibly do to help this guy. No? When a poor person knocks on your door and needs food, Hashem doesn't need you to feed this guy. Hashem's got lots of ways of feeding this person. But he knocked on your door, you have to do everything you can do to help this person. And if you don't, you're liable. But if you don't, he's going to get whatever he needs. There's someone drowning in the river. Possible. Let's go straight to Chumash. The person, this is how parallel lines that touch, Raboisa. Parallel lines can touch. No, that's why they're parallel. Hashem makes parallel lines touch. Watch. Someone's drowning in the river. If you don't jump in and save him, what does the pasuk say? Don't stand by in the blood of your friend. Right? Let's say you choose not to jump in and save him. This guy will drown or not. It's nothing to do with me jumping in or not. If he's destined to die now in this place, in this time, he's going to die no matter what I do. And if he's not destined to die now in this place, in this time, nothing I do is going to kill him. Correct? Poshut. So my jumping in and saving has nothing to do with him saving. But Hashem says you have to jump in and save him. If you don't, you're a murderer. Those are parallel lines. How do you get them to touch? Hashem says that's what I do. No, that's in every aspect of our lives.
Can I interject?
One second, Afanya, you what?
Can I interject?
You just did.
Okay, so can I continue to interject? Rabbi Mansour, he brought a story of a, it's relevant, of a young Talmud. He must have been about 6 or 7 in Cheder. Names to daven for. And the name of the person to daven for was like Shimon ben Yosef. And the person passed away.
Menashe, you're breaking up. I can't hear you. Maybe let's speak about this later. There's no one in me either.
Okay, no problem.
Let me speak to you. Up. No, because you're breaking up. You don't have proper reception. I don't have good reception.
Okay.
Sure. Someone never give you something that isn't good.
Never.
Is that in the short term also?
Always. Hashem only created the world in order to bestow good on you. Short term, long term, infinite term. He wants you to earn it. You don't earn it, you ain't gonna get it. He wants you to earn it. He doesn't want to give it to you for free. So he wants you to earn it. That's why he created the world. For an opportunity to earn it, that'll be the ultimate good. But he wants to give you only good. He can only do good. Hashem can't do something that's not good. Work out why not. Stop being logic. Why can't he do something that's not good? And therefore what?
Therefore, if he created something that was not good.
No, man, for me, I'm a naughty boy, so he brings evil to me. And that's ultimately not good for me. That's what he's asking. No, no, one second. He brings evil to me and Baruch's asking, maybe that's ultimately not good. I'm trying to prove to you logically why it can't be. Does Hashem need anything?
No.
When you do something that's not good, who are you doing it for? Yourself. When I do good, I'm not doing it for me, I'm doing it for you. I'm doing good for you. When I'm doing something bad, it can't be for you, because it's bad for you. So it must be it's good for me. Yeah. Hashem doesn't need anything. He's not lacking anything. He can't change. They could never do anything that's not good, because it would be something that he's doing for himself. And he doesn't do anything for himself, because he's not lacking anything. That was Avraham Avinu's discovery. Olam chesed yibane. There's nothing that Hashem does that's not kulu chesed. Do something bad for him. Do something bad to him that's for him. And there's nothing to do with your benefit. You benefit nothing from being evil. You beat him over there with a baseball bat. It's certainly not good for him. It's bad. Yeah? And it really is. Kulu altruistic in that moment. Kulu l'shem shamayim, doing that piece of evil. You do it because it gives you some kind of a kick, because you enjoy it, or because you hope to get benefit, because you're mugging him, you want his money. You're doing an act of taking. When you do bad to somebody else, there's an act of taking place. And Hashem can't take. By definition, he can only do good. Huh? Limited in what way? Let me ask you a question. If Hashem wanted to take the Torah away from us and give it to the Christians, can he? No, he can't, because he said he wouldn't. So he's now limited by what he chose himself to be limited by. No, he can't. Hashem can't change. What's he going to change into? He is everything, so what can he change into? He can't change his mind. Change means I'm going from something that I had before, that I didn't have, to something that I have. He has everything. How can he change? Change where? Where is he going to change? It's infinite. You're asking the six-year-old question. I'm not insulting you. I mean, every six-year-old has this question. Well, how did Hashem come to be the ultimate of goodman? What would be if he was he just happened to be evil? You know, where did Hashem start? We don't know. Hashem didn't tell us that, so we don't need to know.
Change means there has to be more than one.
Change means there has to be something that's not here now that will be. The Hashem's everything. Yeah, there's this and this. Hashem is all one. There's nothing that's outside of him. So what's he going to change into? Something that's not part of him now? The Christians lied often. They still do. So the Christians lied. They're not the chai of me. Hashem can't do that. Hashem can't do that. He's bound himself. Can Hashem decide not to give you schar for the mitzvah you did that you deserve? No, because he said he'll give you schar b'Eidesh. Don't change his mind. When he makes up his mind didn't make up his mind now, and then in a week later he changes his mind. When he makes up his mind now, that's eternity. That's infinite. You don't understand infinite. That's why we're struggling with it. There's no time by Hashem. Change your mind requires time as well. Change means time.
About the sugar, then.
Huh?
What about the sugar? Then when we do...
Hashem doesn't do tshuva. You do tshuva.
We do tshuva.
Yeah.
He changes... Of that, he changes his mind.
He doesn't change his mind. That's wired into the system. That's wired into the system. When you exercise your bechira and you do something good, you get reward. You use your bechira and do something bad, you get an oinesh. Hashem's not changing his mind. He's responding, once again, he's responding to what you use, how you use your bechira. We don't understand that, by the way, either. We don't understand that, by the way. The Shah Gimel of the Nefesh HaChaim discusses this problem, and I'm not going into it because the Nefesh HaChaim says, I'm really not allowed to discuss this. Really also to even talk about this. But because there's so many people talking nonsense out there about this, I feel compelled to discuss this subject. But Hashem Yachapeli. The Losh of the Nefesh HaChaim and Shah Gimel go overlook. Okay? And then he talks about things which I have no idea what he's talking about. So I use the heter not to look at it because he says, anyway, it's better not to learn this. But the question is, after Hashem created us, did anything in him change? Now the answer is obviously not. But I'll show you that that's not so simple. Before Hashem created me, he had a relationship with me? No. Now he's created me, he's dealing with me in a way that he never dealt with before I was created. So how can he not be changed? He can't be changed. It's one of those paradoxes. You know, Hashem has free foreknowledge and you have Bechira. You can't understand it. Hashem runs the world with Din V'Rachamim. Impossible, but that's what he does. It's one of those. Anyway, the Nefesh HaChaim discusses and goes into it. You can have a look then, look it up for yourself. It's the same question. Nothing changes. You choose to do something bad, Hashem punishes you. He's not changing his mind. He set up a system which functions in a certain way. Yeah, you take hydrogen and oxygen, you make water. I can't punish you if you didn't have bechira. If you did something that wasn't a bechira, you didn't use your bechira to do that, I can't punish you. Cows don't get punished for trampling on your plots. Because they're the bechira. They don't get reward, they don't get punishment. That's obvious, no? That's poshut, no? Don't forget, but I don't have to define. I can't ask you to be accountable for something that you didn't choose to do. Hashem programmed you to do something. It's not going to punish you, reward you for something you did. You don't get rewarded for blinking. You don't get rewarded for blinking. You know, flipping your eyelids open and closed. You get reward for that? No, because when did you... You get reward for choosing to do what you did. Or punishment for choosing to do what you did. If you didn't choose, you were compelled. There's compulsion. How can you get punished? We don't know what reward and punishment means in next world terms, all this world terms. Good. We know that reward is going to be geschmack and the punishment is going to be a bit uncomfortable. Yeah, we know, yeah.
Umbrella over whatever.
And we're also never sure, because we don't put the work into it, to know really was there a Bechira decision here or not. We beat ourselves up for a lot of things that we had no Bechira over. And we take responsibility for a lot of good things we did that we had no Bechira for either. Very hard to go inside and find those Bechira moments. But we're not discussing Bechira. I undertook right at the beginning of this whole story. I told you. Bechira is what it's all about, but we're not discussing Bechira now other than what he discusses. Because it's too big and you have to learn the subject properly inside. So go buy Rabbi Tetz's book on Bechira in English or Hebrew, whichever you prefer, and go learn the Sefer and then come back and talk to me. I'm not prepared to do that. Too big for me. Above my pay grade. And even if my pay grade would go up an enormous amount, it would still be above my pay grade. So, okay, to be continued.
If that were anywhere near true, then
you're starting sentences with but.
Yeah. If that were anywhere near true.
What?
this way of Rav Roshiva's pay grade, then there's absolutely no hope for any of us. So
what?
All supposed
what?
To
what? Maybe you have a different pay. I don't know. Who says? What? You don't know what I'm capable of.